Hi there. I'm Jacob Culp, and this episode is the first in a four-part series where we're going to analyze the shifting voting patterns in the Chicagoland area and the demographic changes to see if there's any correlating matter. Now, when I was a senior in college, I had a senior seminar paper that I wrote about. I did some qualitative analysis of political attitudes in certain counties in Ohio and Illinois, different types of counties, different attitudes, things like that. And it was really interesting. You got to see context and how people adjusted to that context and how people adjusted to realities of life and how they perceived it. This, we're going to go quantitative. And let me show you why we're going to go quantitative. So politics nowadays are very polarized. Over the last decade, that has continued to increase. Like, it hasn't changed. And it's become so apparent. It's not even about policy anymore between the parties. It's about, I'm voting for this party, and there's nothing you can do about that. The policies aren't that different, but the polarization between them is huge. J.C. Williams of the Harvard Business Review, he did some research, right? 2020 presidential election. Joe Biden, he earned just 28% of votes from the white working class men. 28%. That rate is 5% higher than his Democratic colleague Hillary Clinton got in 2016, by the way. He got that. He got a little 2% increase from 2016 in votes from white working class women from 34-36%. That won him the election. That was enough to win him an election. He lost a group by that much. By that much. But that picking that percentage point won him an election. Trump did the same thing. He flipped specific minority groups, especially in the Latinx community. Cuban and Venezuelan Americans helped Trump win 45% of the Latinx vote in Florida. He won that state. He won that state because he flipped them. You guys remember how close Texas was to flipping blue? Well, Mexican American community in South Texas, there was an uptick in the amount of support he got from them in the 2020 election. He helped that keep that state voting red. Nowadays, presidential elections specifically are so based on, I'm going to steal this percentage. It used to be in the days of like JFK, I'm trying to get this mosh posh group to vote for me. Right. The Rainbow Coalition. Yeah. I'm trying to get all these groups to vote for me. Nowadays, things are so polarized. Candidates know they're not going to get groups. The groups are set. Right? The groups are set. So I'm trying to steal this percentage from you. I'm going to take 4% here. What are you going to do? You're going to find 4% in my group that I already have? Sure, there's that little toss up every year that they got to win. That's basically you got to win. But it's become so polarized that to win an election, you have to learn to steal, which is a great lesson as a politician, right? We're going to keep looking at these numbers. Kanika and Scott, they're journalists with City Monitor. They did some great work. They were looking in the 2020 election as well. And Trump was able to maintain his dominance in rural areas. They looked at urban versus rural. That is how it works. It's not just race. It's not just ethnicity. It's also region. It's also who's in your region. We know the difference in demographic makeup by region, right? You know, rural is going to be mostly Caucasian, where urban is going to be more minorities. Excuse me. In 2020, Trump held his domination in rural areas. He had more than a 30 percentage point margin over Biden in rural areas. And with how wide of a margin Trump held in both in the 2016 election, it was even more impressive that his marginal lead dropped in just 36% of rural counties in 2020. He not only dominated, he stayed dominating for those 4 years. He consistently dominated. Those are your two steps. You control what you control, your politically polarized sides that support you, you get them and you sustain them. Then you try to do that picking, like I was talking about. You know, Biden increases margin in large metro areas. He had a 14-point margin in 2020 over Trump in metro areas. Democrats possessed just a 0.8-point lead in the 2004 election in large metro areas. Think about that. I mean, they were the same types of elections. 2004 and 2020, incumbent Republican presidents interested in international affairs. One went to a little more war than the other, but we're not going to talk about President George H.W. Bush. You have to control what you have, right? Just looking at those numbers, you see politics are so polarized that you're fighting for a group. You already know what group you have, and now you're trying to pick out of other groups. That's how you win an election, right? That's what I've been saying. Well, I realized, yeah, my qualitative study was awesome, right? But if elections nowadays are so polarized that I can look at a demographic and be like, that's what they're voting. Or because this demographic didn't vote as wild, as, you know, superbly this way, that's why this side won. If that's the case, why don't I do a quantitative analysis? And that's what I decided to do. I wanted to do a quantitative analysis on the shifting voting patterns in Chicago. So I actually picked the Chicagoland area, which includes Cook County, which is, you know, the big Chicago area. There's 9 counties I chose. All kind of fit that description of, you're looking at Chicagoland area. It's about in that region, that metro Chicago, which is a pretty large region because Chicago is such a big city. And I decided to ask the question, how have the shifting demographics of the Chicagoland area affected voting patterns over the past decade? And that is what the other 3 parts are going to be about, all about finding out. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in for the first episode. The second episode will be out soon. And I look forward to bringing you guys some great content. Until next time, I'm Jacob Culp, and I'll see you later.